Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go have some fun, boys. Let's go perform today.
We're getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
For the next 2 hours,
join our hosts Hugh Douglas and Will Palache
as they talk everything Falcons,
as well as a look around the league.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Hugh and Will.
It's game day, Falcons fans. Week 7 of the NFL season starts now. Your Atlanta Falcons take on the Detroit Lions, coming off of their first win of the season last week against Minnesota. Willie P., Will Palachuk here with you alongside Hugh Douglas as we get you ready for a 1 o'clock kickoff inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. First time the Atlanta Falcons will wear their brand new gradient jerseys in front of the home crowd, but they come home, Hugh Douglas, off a win, and I know that it's probably easy for Falcon fans to have mixed feelings about what we saw last week. I don't know about you. I was equal parts pleased and equal parts ticked off because I was wondering where this team was all season. They finally burrowed out from underneath the underground.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of mixed emotions. You talk about, for me especially defensively, the way that they played for four quarters.
Planet that defense showed up, Hugh Douglas.
That was something that they didn't do all season long. And, you know, you have mixed emotions about it because you want to ask the obvious questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the obvious questions is, okay, where was this when Coach Quinn was here? and you know, not trying to be that guy because this is the way for, you know, Atlanta Falcons tailgate show. But and then you say, okay, what was the difference? Like, that was my biggest question. Mm-hmm. But then you start looking at, you know, different analytics and stuff. You start looking at certain things. And teams normally, when they do things like this, they normally have a win after the fact. So you look at that, and you kind of wonder if that's what it is. But I don't know. We're going to find out today. Today is the part of the test where we can actually see if this was lip service, or they really turning the corner. And hopefully it's the latter.
I hope so, too, because – and I feel like all of our hosts have echoed this week. You know, I feel like we all know that the best way forward for this franchise is some kind of a hard reset. But nobody likes to lose. Like, losing sucks. I've been in cities. You've been in – you were in a city that
man,
went 1-15.
Man, listen. It's the absolute – that's why I'm like, as a former player – mm-hmm. Don't understand why people get by saying, hey, you need to just tank. Tank is not fun.
It sucks.
Tank is not – like, that's like going to work, like, at your job and getting slapped in the face with a wet fish every day. Like, seriously. It's like getting right? – like you looking forward because you just know, hey, I'm about to get slapped in the face with this wet fish. Well, fishes are wet. They're fish.
And I know
Abe was probably – yeah, Abe was probably saying that, well, Hugh, fishes are wet. Okay, fine. They're wet. You're right. I apologize for that. But still, you get the point. You just get slapped in the face every day. It ain't nothing going to change for 16 weeks. Maybe one week and you get a win. And, you know, you don't get slapped in the face with the fish. But, man, every week, no, nobody wants that.
And contrary to popular belief, they don't do that on purpose. Like, they're actually trying to win in those 16 weeks. It's not like Madden where you can just simulate a season and restart over. But I do feel like it was good to see them do that. It was easy to explain why. You forced those three interceptions from Kirk Cousins, and you also get a lot going with balance offensively. And just simply, Hugh, they played four quarters for the first time this season. We hadn't seen that in any stretch, regardless of the way they played through the first five games.
Man, listen, it was one of those things, and you look at it, you're just like, you know, you were just like, wow, where was this team when when the season started? And, mm-hmm. and one of the things that jumped out to me was the fact that, you know, this is one of the times, even though the numbers didn't bear out to be great, 20 carries for Todd Gurley. 20 carries for 47 yards. I mean, that is running the ball pretty good. That's 37 carries rushing total. 37 attempts at rushing the ball. So, you know, that's where I think the difference was. The difference lied. It was a little bit more balanced in the offense. And, you know, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones hooking up for doing what they do. Matt Ryan threw for over 300 yards, you know, had four TDs. I mean, you know, that helps out. That helps out a lot, especially when you're playing against the Minnesota Vikings, and to be able to do what you did, that was huge. That was huge.
Those who are critics, Hugh, will say you beat a bad football team.
Tomato can,
like you like to say. But here's the issue: we had lost to a couple of tomato cans, in my opinion, earlier this season. I feel like Carolina Panthers, tomato can.
Yeah.
I feel like the Chicago Bears, despite their record, tomato can. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys, I know they've got a lot of prestige, tomato can. And also, think about the fact that if we would have gotten them later in the season, you might not have seen Dak Prescott, and they would have been even more of a tomato can. So, from the standpoint of where I sit with this Falcon team,
yeah.
I feel like because of the fact that you lost the tomato cans, we should not necessarily glorify beating one. But the fact of the matter is, you got a stretch here that's very favorable to you with this team you play against Detroit, where you're favored. You're going to go to Carolina to try and avenge an earlier season loss, and then you have Denver before the bye. You could be 4-5 by the time we hit the break at week 9.
Yeah, and everything will look a little different, you know, but you know, that remains to be seen. We got to get it done today, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing about this team right now. As good as we felt with this win against Minnesota, still does not make me comfortable. You know, it doesn't make me comfortable when you talk about playing against a team that's a winnable opponent and thinking that you could go on a run. Got to get there first. Still a lot of football left to be played, and still don't trust this team, because even with the lead, even with the way that they jumped out last week, still didn't feel comfortable. Still did not feel comfortable until the clock struck zero.
Mm-hmm. And this Detroit Lion team comes in here. Falcons have won 3 out of the last 4 head-to-head against them, which also pits Matt Ryan against his good off-the-field friend, Matthew Stafford. It's the first time that Matthew Stafford is going to play a professional game in the city of Atlanta since he left Georgia. This is something that I found is a bit of an oddity. The only time these two teams played a game where Atlanta was the home team in Matthew Stafford's career was when the Falcons played in London at Wembley Stadium, and that was that crazy game, if you remember, Hugh, where
Matt Prater
hits the field goal at the end there.
Well, yeah, I remember a lot of people talking about that. I think that was about five, six years ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Lions come in, you know, they have 2 wins. It's a situation here where Matthew Stafford's had to play a little bit different than he has. A lot of times you see him throwing the football a lot, but I think for the first time in a long time, he has a sustainable running game. Of course, we've talked a lot about Adrian Peterson, the ageless wonder, but a lot of it's starting to revolve around the former Bulldog DeAndre Swift, and he's caught the attention of Todd Gurley this year and caught the attention of a lot of people after that opening week flub that cost them their opening game. He has actually turned it on.
Yeah, you're talking about him. Man, you talk about that first game that they had where they had the game won, and they helped the Chicago Bears win that one. They helped the Chicago Bears win that game and had a great performance. Just dropped the ball right at the absolute last minute. Just dropped the ball on the last play, and it just didn't look good. But last week, DeAndre Swift against the Jacksonville Jaguars had, like, what, 14 carries for over 100 yards. He looked like he's getting comfortable. And the one thing that I remember about him when he was at Georgia was that cat could catch the ball out of the backfield.
He can.
And if you got a running back that can do that, that can run between the tackles and catch the ball out of the backfield, you got a special kind of guy.
It is the sixth week out of seven, Hugh, where I would posit to you that you face a dynamic dual threat running back on the opposition. Seattle, you had Chris Carson. Dallas, you had Zeke Elliott. Bears with Tariq Cohen. Green Bay, of course, had Aaron Jones. Carolina was without Christian McCaffrey, but they still were able to get theirs with Mike Davis. In Minnesota, you were able to contain Alexander Mattison last week, but you once again draw the short straw here with Swift. And as we talk about all the time, it is a copycat league. If there's one thing that has been the bugaboo of the Falcon defense this year, it's handling running backs and handling tight ends as well.
Yeah, and you best believe that they're probably going to look at that, and they're going to try to exploit that as much as they possibly can. And what I mean by that is the back out of the backfield, trying to get him the ball, trying to get him in space with those linebackers. So hopefully last week the linebacker play was much better. And hopefully that wasn't just because you were matched up against the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins didn't look like – he looked like a deer in the headlights at times. And he throwing the ball to the wrong people and all that good stuff. So hopefully – That is not the case this week. Hopefully they can, you know, keep the running back in check.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P and Hugh Douglas getting you ready for a 1 o'clock kick at the Bens, Falcons and Lions. Following a week where Todd Gurley had 14 carries for 121 yards, he had one short of a season high in carries, but only 47 rushing yards, just 2.3 yards a clip. Minnesota really held Atlanta's run game in check. That was the one area where I feel like they couldn't get things going. I really feel like, though, there are opportunities for them in the run game against this Detroit team. They are second to last in the league in rush defense. You should see a big day from the bell cow.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to take advantage. And you got to – I think the biggest thing that this offense has been lacking all season long, Willie P, is the fact that they haven't ran the ball well. They haven't. It feels like there hasn't been a true commitment to running the football at times.
Nope.
And this will be a time where, you know, better time, best time than any to sit there and just feed the beast. Try to feed him as much as you possibly can, man, and you know, get it going. And then when you do that, when there's a threat, somewhat of a threat of a running game, it opens up the passing game more than you could ever know. Than you could ever imagine.
And it's the weirdest thing, too. The run-pass balance was about the same as it was. It was 40 passes or 40 dropbacks for Matt Ryan. Actually, 42 dropbacks to 37 runs. So that's about as close as the run-pass balance has been at any point this year for the Falcons. The problem is the run wasn't necessarily something that was effective for them, though I feel like you give Dirk Koetter credit in this sense, is that they did not give up on it. A part of the reason was they had the lead. When you have the lead, you can afford to not give up on the run. You don't have to pass from behind. And because of that, I feel like that opened up some things for Ryan. Even though the yardage and the statistics didn't look as effective on the Atlanta rushing side, I think it afforded Matt Ryan the time and the ability to actually make some plays in the pass game.
Yeah, I mean, because it was one of those things, there was a threat of the run. You know, and anytime there's a threat, that gives you the ability to open up the passing game, you know, because you got those linebackers playing up a little bit closer. Everybody's not playing in coverage because they're afraid of the run. You know, even though when you look at it, the Falcons didn't crack 100 yards, they cracked 99 on the run, but just that threat of the run kept the Minnesota Vikings in check and was able to open up the passing game.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons and Lions. This is part of a condensed week for the Falcons. Of course, you play today against Detroit, and then you have the quick turnaround Thursday when you take on the Carolina Panthers for the Thursday night football game of the year, the one time that you will find them on Thursday night, and then the long week and a half before their final game before the bye at home against Denver. Critical stretch here for the Falcons. What do they need to show to you that last week was not a fluke and that this is actually the sign of a turnaround?
The defensive play. Like last week, they were flying around. They were fast and physical, and they did it for four quarters. To me, that I feel a little bit more comfortable if I see that again today.
Two players not named Matt Ryan had their best game of the year last week against Minnesota. I'll tell you who those guys are, and I'll ask you, Douglas, what will we be saying about Matthew Stafford when his career is over? We'll talk about that and more as we continue, taking you all the way up to 11 o'clock. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show with Willie P. and Hugh Douglas here with you on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and online at radio.com.
Back up in the pocket, throws, backside, open, diving and scoring in the pylon.
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ryan under center with an eye behind him. Play fake. Ryan going to slip it back. Wide open is Hurst. 20, 15, 10, 5. And Hayden Hurst will close the show on a fourth and short. Tonight. Hurst gets his third touchdown catch, and it's a 35-yard throw from Ryan.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Sunday morning, getting you ready for a 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There were two players who stood out mostly to me outside of the quarterback, Matt Ryan, Hugh Douglas. The first one on defense was Deion Jones. I feel like for the first 5 weeks of the season, we saw Deion Jones on the field. But on Sunday last week, we saw Debo for the first time, and we saw him right from the opening play of the game.
Let me think. I could probably roll with that. You're talking about a lot of times this year when you talk about Deion, how he really he did make plays that normally he would make. I guess you could say that. And he just didn't look as crisp as he used to look. Well, he didn't look as crisp as he did his Pro Bowl year.
Yeah, so he didn't look like an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler. He was adequate, but this was the game where I feel like you saw the reasons why he's so important to the Falcons' defense when he plays well.
Yeah, and it also felt like, see, I don't know this, and I hate speculating, but, you know, we work in radio, and that's what we do. But it felt like everything was a little simpler defensively.
Yes.
It felt like, just from watching on television, it felt like there was no second-guessing your assignment. It felt like everybody kind of knew, you know, how when you line up, you know, if a team moves, that kind of throws everything in a tizzy defensively. And it didn't feel like that was the case. It felt like no matter what happened, everybody was on the same page, and everybody understood what was needed from them in that situation. That's what it felt like.
You got it. Well, when you're the head coach, Hugh, I feel like, you know, you get a lot of credit or discredit for things that aren't in your jurisdiction. For example, under Dan Quinn, I don't know for a fact how much or how little he was part of the offensive meetings, but it just appeared from the outside that he basically let Dirk Cutter have free rein over the way that the offense was called and had very little input except for things like, do we go forward on fourth down or whether we kick and things of that nature. Like, I feel like his input on offense was very limited. But with Raheem, as somebody who has worked on both sides of the football, not only in his career but here in this building, I feel like it's a lot easier to see his imprint on the game plan both offensively and defensively.
You know what? That's a good analysis. It feels different. I'll just say that, Willie P. It feels different, and it's one of those things where, you know, you really can't put your finger on it. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to think about it, you'd be like, oh, you're like, okay, well, there's something that's different. There's no question about that. There's something that's totally different about this team when you look at it from the way that they're playing now as opposed to how they were playing a few weeks ago. And that's the unfortunate thing about this, because we're comparing and contrasting coaching mm-hmm. styles. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a guy who Coach Quinn brought in, you know, and it just feels weird to do that, but that's what we're left with. That's exactly what we're left with. We have no choice but to compare and contrast because we only have a small sampling size of this team right now, and the sampling size that we have looked pretty good. It looked totally different than what we have been seeing from this squad.
The other guy who I felt really made an impact, he's had good games this season, but I feel like for the first time, we really saw him fully healthy, and that was Julio Jones. You saw the guy who is the $30 million man, the guy who has an impact on the game, not just with his presence and making catches, long yardage plays, two touchdowns, but also he has an effect on the entire offense because when coverage draws his way, that opens things up for Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, Hayden Hurst, who you heard in the highlight, and all the rest just seems to click a lot better when he plays. I've been critical of him, and not necessarily of him, but just of the team, because of the fact that while he a lot of times puts up some very cosmetic-looking numbers, it has not translated into wins on the field. And I almost look at it in a way of like, you can give me these numbers and still not win. Why do I need you? Not that I'm disputing or imputing his ability or disputing the fact that he's one of the greatest receivers of this generation, but it's one of those things where it's like his performance needs to lead to wins. Is that fair or unfair in your mind?
I think that Julio goes out there and he adds a different dynamic when he's on the field. Now, you know how I feel. I mean, he doesn't play defense. And a lot of times, like especially this year, the defense has been the glaring problem for me.
You're correct.
And I know that for a lot of people, and you've pointed out, which rightfully so, that in certain situations, the offense has to help the defense out and they have to score points. To a certain extent, you are correct. But Julio Jones goes out there when he's out there to me. And he does exactly every time what I expect him to do. Now, I know some games is going to be a lot better than others for him because of the personnel that teams have that they can match up with him.
And give credit where you can.
Yeah. So I feel like Julio does the job that he's supposed to do when he's out there on the field all the time, even if the numbers don't bear that out.
A player who I feel like in the pantheon of the National Football League has very cosmetic numbers, but really very little wins to show for it, Matthew Stafford, the Lions quarterback who we see today. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris on the former Georgia stud.
Matthew Stafford's a really good quarterback in this league and has been for a long time. Talking about a guy who can make all the throws on the field. You know, a local kid here that played in Georgia and that we know really well. Matt's a great guy. He's explosive. He has an explosive arm. And that shouldn't give us confidence watching that.
That is Raheem Morris speaking about Matthew Stafford. These guys are very interconnected. They have a great off-the-field relationship. They play golf. Their wives know each other. So it's something where it's easy to connect the two. As I said earlier, they've played four times. Matt Ryan has gotten the edge three out of those four times with all three wins coming in Detroit. This is the first time they faced off in Atlanta. The only other time was in London. I do feel, though, Hugh, you know, when it comes to Stafford, he is somebody who is going to have numbers that rival some of the best in the history. They will also reflect this new wave of passing numbers where a lot of those become a lot more inflated. The problem is he does not have the dubs to go with it. How will you remember Matthew Stafford when it's all said and done, when his career is over?
Woo, Matthew. Matthew Stafford, to me, will be a quarterback that will be remembered as a guy who was a really good player, just on the wrong team. You know, you talk about another Detroit Lion that, you know, transcended everything with his ability. He's not there. He's not Barry Sanders. But he would definitely be in the Detroit Lions Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
I mean, he's the best quarterback they've had.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, he would definitely be. He'll be in the Detroit Lions Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
And it's sad because, like you said, you know, sometimes you have guys who play for the wrong franchise who have numbers that reflect the time and reflect his greatness, but again, hasn't been enough to get over the hump, and it's especially bad when that happens at quarterback. He has a pretty big running back, though, and a good running game with DeAndre Swift. You mentioned his performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Raheem Morris on the type of problems that the former Georgia Bulldog in the running game presents for Atlanta.
He's fast. He runs powerful. He's a guy that we looked at in the draft a lot and love. So, and I've been looking at him. Fortunately, I've been looking at him for a long time. You know, watching all those wideouts at Georgia, I kept saying to myself, who is this number seven guy for the last couple of years? And he's been out there tearing it up. And now you get a chance to watch him in the pros and grow. Particularly last week, he looked really good.
16 yards, a pair of touchdowns, also caught three passes just for 7 yards, but somebody who can command 17 to 20 touches in a football game, Hugh, and like we said earlier, with the way that this league rolls, sure, the Lions, who have studied the film when it comes to the Falcons, know that if you can get this team running side to side, they kind of look like they're on roller skates at times if they're not assignment correct.
Yeah, And that's the unfortunate thing about it. There's a playbook out on this Atlanta Falcons football team, and they're not that good up front. Defensively, you know, the one guy that if you can button him up is Grady Jarrett. And if you can do that, you have a strong possibility of winning a football game. So, you know, they're going to go in there thinking that if we can stop Grady Jarrett, we got a shot. No question about that.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you as we get you ready for Falcons and Lions, a 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We talked earlier about sticking to the run, and even though the run wasn't effective, the run-pass balance allowed the Falcons to be effective on plays. They ran it 37 times. They had 42 pass dropbacks. Falcons running back Todd Gurley talked about the importance this week of sticking to the run game.
It just go back to what Jason was saying, just trusting in the run, not trying to press it. Obviously you want to press my track, but just not trying to press, not trying to make, you know, go out there and be a creator and do stuff without outside the scheme, you know, just stay within the scheme.
Gurley, again, 2 weeks ago, had 14 carries, 121 yards. This past week, though, against Minnesota, just 20 carries, or not just 20 carries, but just 47 yards on 20 carries. That was one short of his season high. How do you feel like they have maintained the load of just Gurley? I know that, you know, when you think about the carry numbers, 14, 21, 14, 16, 14, 20, that's kind of around where we thought it would be. Though, again, I feel like a lot of Falcon fans still want to see more. I know he's not going to be a 25 carry a game guy. They're just not going to play him that way. But I do feel like there are certain areas and spaces where you probably feel like he could be utilized better than he has.
I feel like Todd Gurley has, under the circumstances, he's giving you as much as he possibly could, you know, with the way that they're playing him. Todd Gurley is not the Todd Gurley of old. I think that's obvious. We've seen certain plays where, you know, we're hoping that Todd Gurley has that burst to break out. Doesn't look like he has that, which is okay. Still a really good back. I think that the way that they've used him and he's allowed to play, he's kind of adjusted his game a little bit. You can kind of see that. It feels to me like he kind of is becoming comfortable where he is in his career, and he's starting to work around that a little bit, which is fine. You know, we don't expect Ty Gurley to go out there and you know, have those game-breaking runs that he used to have. But if you can get Ty Gurley to give you some nice little quality downs, mood to change a little bit, that's pretty good.
Three career games against the Detroit Lions for Todd Gurley, averaging 18 rushes in those three games, 110 rushing yards over the span of those three. But, of course, that last performance came in 2018 before the problems began with the arthritic knee. We'll see if he can pull another one out of the hat and give the Falcons a sustainable run game and a win today against Detroit to make it two in a row and get themselves turned around on a winning track. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We'll check around the entire rest of the National Football League schedule, a couple of updates on COVID-related issues for the Raiders and the Saints, and a big signing has made its way inside this division. Does everybody want to go play in Tampa? Willie P. and Hugh Douglas coming back on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and online, radio.com.
You know, we stayed together. We all we got, we all we need.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
He cracked the stripe at the north end of the building for the score.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott! Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Corner at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch. It's a back shoulder throw by Carson Wentz, and little Boston Scott somehow finds the football. What a throw. What a catch.
This is amazing.
Merrill Reese.
And Mike Quinn
on the courtesy.
Oh, that's funny.
A guy from Boston.
Little Boston Scott.
Philly.
Yeah, little Boston Scott. That was funny. Shout out to my man Mike Quick for that one.
That's I tell you what, man. The NFC East, I saw a stat yesterday. The NFC East has the ability and is on pace to be the worst division by percentage in the history of the National Football League. They're right now at 25% at winning percentage.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, and I was just like, you know, I was telling folks, y'all need to back up off my NFC East. But, I mean, hey, it is – hey, Willie P, it is what it is, man. I mean, ain't too much I can say about it. It's the absolute worst division in football. When you have to have a game where, as bad as the Giants are, you got to come back in the last few minutes of that game and win, that's pretty bad.
The other two teams inside that division play today in what's going to be a slog in Landover, Maryland, Cowboys and Redskins, 75%, or Cowboys and the Washington football team. Now, I have one now. You have one this year. I have a second one this year. So now we have two who have called the Washington football team by their former name.
Yeah, and you know what? Did you see the report that they might keep that for a while? They might keep the football team for a while.
They might keep the Washington football team name at least through the 2021 season. Cowboys and Washington, 1 o'clock at FedEx Field in Landover. Again, 75% chance of rain there. A pair of undefeateds meet in Tennessee, the Titans and the Steelers. I think I expected one of these two teams to be undefeated. I'm not sure about both, but they sit 5-0 in this game that's going to take place in Nashville. And it's not as if I didn't think the Titans could double up the way that they did after last year, but Ryan Tannehill is starting to look like the truth a little bit.
Steals daddy. Like, I got a question for you, Willie P. Which team did you think at this point would be undefeated? Which team did you believe more so that would be undefeated? Would it be the Titans or the Steelers at this point?
Pittsburgh, I would have thought, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and especially given what has happened to, the Titans. You know,
return of Big Ben, too, also.
Yeah. And then you give them what happened to the Titans being quarantined and not being able to go to facility, not playing for a while. And I thought that, you know, a couple of weeks ago that they would have that little lapse because they weren't playing football. But that's not the case. Derrick Henry has been beasting cats. You know, the most unfortunate thing to me about that is the fact that, you know, Derrick Henry's going to burn out as much as he's carrying the rock. Because that's normally how running backs of that caliber – that's what normally happens to him. You know, they have a phenomenal season like he's having right now. And then you see a couple years after that, he's not the same guy because they've just ran him into the ground. Same thing's going to happen to him.
Derrick Henry, one of four running backs with more than 400 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns this season. The other three guys, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, and guess who? Hugh Douglas?
Todd Gurley.
How about that?
Hey!
Shout out to Abe Gordon for putting that on the show sheet, by the way.
Yeah, Abe has all those awesome stats.
He actually he sent out a new one this morning that added only one stat, and I'm going to make sure that I find a way to work that one stat in because I want to make sure that his extra effort is rewarded. There were COVID concerns with the Las Vegas Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Raiders at one point had their entire starting offensive line on the reserve COVID list, but 4 of the 5 have been cleared to go. The guy who actually had the COVID allegedly is right tackle Trent Brown, but Colton Miller, their left tackle, left guard Denzel Good, center Rodney Hudson, and right guard Gabe Jackson all came off the COVID-19 list and tested negative for the virus this morning. They did so, and they will play Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game that was set to go off for Sunday Night Football but had been rescheduled in case they could not play this weekend.
Don't you think it's kind of funny that we get these COVID tests, and you have to report them or you don't have to report them, and then they change all of a sudden as needed? It feels like not a conspiracy, not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, I'm just saying that it just feels
well, I think
weird.
The NFL is a little bit more rigid when it comes to it. I feel like the college game, there might be some nefarious nature with the college game as far as
you think the NFL
go.
But I just thought it was kind of weird, but I mean, hey, that's just me.
But though, 4 of those guys will be good to go. Trent Brown will not. He is currently in quarantine. Also, the Saints are good to go after Emmanuel Sanders tested positive for COVID-19. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list on Saturday. That means the Saints today, in their game against Carolina, will have no Emmanuel Sanders and no Michael Thomas. As Thomas, his struggles continue, Hugh, after the 1-game suspension for disciplinary issues. He came up with a hamstring on Wednesday, and Drew Brees will be without 2 of his top targets against Carolina today at the Superdome.
Yeah, that was a story that was reported that the Saints are thinking about considering trading Michael Thomas. I thought that was
crazy.
Pretty surprising. Yeah, I thought that was pretty surprising. I don't know how true this story is, but, you know, just throw it out there because it was a report that said that was going to be the case. I can't see them doing that. But, you know, you just never know.
One more note inside the NFC South. Of course, it won't affect the Bucs this week, but the impending signing, or at least the soon-to-be official signing, of Antonio Brown.
Mr. Big Chest.
One-year deal.
That is too funny.
A little bit more than a league minimum. There are some individual and team incentives that could make the deal a little bit richer for him, but the reclamation project to end all reclamation projects comes with the reuniting of Brady and Antonio Brown.
I had a lot of thoughts about this, and, you know, I get that a lot of people are probably upset about this. You know, Antonio Brown, early on last year, had a public meltdown of epic proportion. No question about that.
I was supposed to say, it was very public and it was very melty.
Yeah, it was, and a lot of people were concerned about his well-being. And, you know, there were some thoughts that he would never get back in the league again. And I know some people are mad that he is back in the league. You know, man, but when you're talented like he is, you know, you're going to get another shot. That's just the reality. That's the nature of the beast, you know. And I'm all for second chances and third chances in some cases. I just hope that he does the right thing in this one. You know, I hope he's learned his lesson, and I hope that he grows from this. I mean, that's the only thing you can hope for. You know, because it's obvious, and I know a lot of people are upset because he's getting this chance. But you just hope that he learns from this and he grows from it and becomes a better person. Hopefully that's the case.
Do you think he's on this team by Thanksgiving?
Do I think so? I think he's been humbled. I think he has been humbled. I think sometimes you got to get absolute rock bottom before you realize that, you know, you need to change some things about yourself. So I think that, yeah, I think he'll be here. Thanksgiving, yes, I do.
It looks like the soonest that we might be able to see him weekend of November the 8th due to COVID protocols and also getting himself back up to speed with the Buccaneers again. Bucs and Raiders, that is a 4:05 game that originally was a Sunday night game. The game that is the Sunday night game this week, which you'll hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with coverage following the Falcons flyover with Thomas Mott at 7:30, will be the Seahawks and the Cardinals. We get a little treat here with this game being moved to national TV. Russell Wilson against Kyler Murray tonight, Hugh.
That should be pretty exciting. You know what I was thinking about when we were in the break? I was just trying to figure out, you know, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making this move to get AB, I think a lot of people are excited, and they're thinking that maybe Tampa Bay is a team to beat in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think of a team that has weapons on both sides of the ball that could, you know, beat them, could beat the evil empire, because that's basically what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, if it, you know, anything is possible. And, you know, we're just talking about on paper. I was thinking the Seattle Seahawks, but defensively, the Seattle Seahawks are not that great.
No.
And you talk about.
We even put up 25 points against them.
Yeah. And then you talk about what potentially. Like, this is the thing. Seattle Seahawks offense is going to keep them in the game. But I take that back, because that Tampa Bay defense is pretty darn good. They're pretty darn good. So, yeah, it'll probably be a little bit of a problem. It looks like right now, folks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might be the class of the NFC.
I don't know. I still give credit to Seattle because of the way Russ is playing. They do have some older playmakers on defense, like Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, and whenever Jamal Adams returns to form a move. I know we made Adams look like an all-pro, but I feel like he is that good. I feel like he's going to do that to a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, and it's still a lot of football left to be played. Anything is possible, and every, you know, still, like I said, a lot of football left to be played. But right now, when you talk about, like, the balance, like, they're the most balanced team in the NFC to me, right, just thinking off the top. You look at the Chicago Bears, they have some offensive issues. Green Bay Packers, they have some defensive issues. I mean, but you got teams that can score, but can they stop them from scoring? That would be my concern.
The well-traveled San Francisco 49ers make their third game this season already in their first six on the East Coast. They had to play back-to-back weeks in New York. They now have to go take on the New England Patriots, and they will do so without Raheem Mostert. Next three games he'll have to sit, as he was placed on injured reserve with a high ankle sprain. So tough go for the 49er running back. Again, 49ers at the Patriots. That's one of the 4:25 games. That'll be the one you'd see in Atlanta if you turn on CBS at 4:25. Other games of note: Chiefs, Broncos, Jaguars, Chargers, Bills, Jets. and Browns at Bengals in the battle of the state of Ohio. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P and Hugh Douglas back into the Falcons and Lions. An injury update that's actually rather clean for the Falcons for the first time this season. And we'll also give you some more stats as we count you down to kickoff until 1 o'clock. Willie P, Hugh Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.